Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me in the back? Okay, great. So I hope you had a wonderful lunch. My name is Christian Nessa. I'm a CTO at a company called Lumagate, and also cloud and data center MVP. This is, first of all, a very special day for me. It's the first time I ever attend TechEd. I'm so lucky to be able to present, and last but not least, it's my birthday. So keep that in mind when it comes to the evaluation part. Okay? So I'm here today to talk about a subject that is very interesting, if you ask me at least, planning and designing management stamps for the Windows Azure pack. So a short survey before we get started. Anyone here using Azure pack today? Okay. Anyone tried but not succeeded using Azure pack today? Okay, some hands. So I will share my experience based on what we have seen in the field, basically. And I mean, this can be, I can talk about this for decades, but we only have 75 minutes, so I will take some of the portions out of it. So the session objectives, what I really like you to know after this session is to understand the Azure pack and the VM cloud resource providers. So our focus will basically be on the infrastructure as a service offering in Azure pack. We will know about the considerations for stamp design. So we're going to discuss a bit about that as well. You should know how a scalable VMM should be designed and understand how everything here interacts with each other. So the agenda is quite high level, as you can see. We're going to do some talking first on the planning and designing part. And I can assure you, if you stick with me, I have a bunch of demos to show you. Sounds great? Okay, good. So planning and designing. Azure pack was released 12, 13 months ago, and we have seen quite an adoption, at least in Europe and Nordics, when Azure pack was shipped. And we have seen so many attempts in order to use Azure pack together with VMM that have failed. And there's quite obvious reasons for that, because Azure pack also relies on some underlying technologies such as NVGRE, software-defined networking with network virtualization. Is anyone using that today? Very good. And is it working? One hand. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. So I've been to the field and I see quite some horrible VMM deployments, basically, which is the essence of this the VM cloud resource provider. And I want to provide you with some best practices around how to design things in order to make things working. So if you have been working with VMM, you may also have touched the networking part in VMM. So please raise your hand if you think VMM networking is easy. No one. I'll show you. Okay? So before we get started, I want to explain some principles for you. We need to understand multi-tenancy, because the Azure pack together with Windows Server and System Center is basically introducing us for all the cloud characteristics like self-servicing, elasticity, resource pooling, chargeback, and broad network access. So here's the architecture of what we will be working on today. We can start at the bottom. You see that we have management stamps. So management stamps was introduced back in Service Pack 1 for System Center 2012, when we got Service Provider Foundation. We got so much new technology with the release of Windows Server 2012, such as network virtualization. So if you look close at the release, you can see that the entire scenario for service provider finally made sense, right? So in order to expose this and leverage it, we have Service Provider Foundation, which is a multi-tenant REST OData API that we again can connect to the service management in API in Azure pack. So beneath the Service Provider Foundation architecture, you see that we can have multiple stamps. So a stamp basically contains the scale units, compute, networking, and storage, all kinds of security settings as well. We will also find the clouds here, with its capabilities. And as an example on how to leverage SPF, we have AzurePack. So please note, you don't have to use AzurePack to leverage all the goodies in VMM and Hyper-V and so on. You can write your own custom portal and take advantage of SPF. But what AzurePack does, it brings us a common service management API that we have in Azure as well. For the multi-tenancy part, you can see that we have a service admin API that reflects what the service administrator is able to do, meaning configuring the underlying resource providers. The tenant, we have a tenant API that you, as a customer or tenant, can interact with as part of the tenant portal, and we also have a tenant public API. So there's a lot of opportunities here. But this is the high-level architecture of what we call the VM Cloud Resource Provider in AzurePack. So in order to understand multi-tenancy, and this is probably where people are starting to get confused, all this possible mapping we can do. So in AzurePack, we get introduced for something called hosting plans. And a hosting plan can contain several service offerings, such as VM clouds. We have platform as a service offerings as part of the website cloud, SQL Server cloud, and Service Bus cloud, right? And this can be mapped to a VMM server and a VMM cloud. In addition, a cloud in VMM can contain one or more host groups. You can have several hosting plans using the same VMM server and the same cloud in VMM. You can have several hosting plans using same VMM server and different clouds. And last but not least, you can have several hosting plans using different VMM server and different clouds. So how do you actually plan for this? There are so many options. For the SPF part, please note that Service Provider Foundation supports the maximum of 5 VMM stamps. If separate domains, the VMM domain must trust the SPF domain because the context the SPF account is executing in needs to be an administrator in VMM. And please note, each stamp is an isolated stamp. There's no linking between the stamps. And one important thing to note, the AzurePack only support one Service Provider Foundation endpoint. Confused? Yeah? I thought so when I created these slides, so I said, okay, we need to visualize a bit. So to show you some examples, this is a one-to-one mapping. Starting from the top, you have the tenant subscriptions, right? The tenants subscribe to a hosting plan that is based on the AzurePack and Service Provider Foundation solution. And beneath, we have a single VMM cloud in a single VMM server using a single host group in VMM. Okay, so we have one-to-one mapping. Here, we have one-to-many regarding the host group. So we can create hosting plans, all targeting the same, a single VMM cloud in a single VMM server, but the workload can potentially be deployed to two different host groups. The next one, we can create several hosting plans based on a single cloud and a single VMM server using a single host group. We can have multiple VMM clouds, so each hosting plan will be associated with one VMM cloud and one VMM server. And the last one, you can have multiple VMM clouds, you can have multiple VMM servers and multiple host groups and multiple plans. So since we only support one endpoint in AzurePack for Service Provider Foundation, those two blocks are not changing. So hopefully this made it a bit clearer for you. So the stamp considerations, the high level. First of all, we need to know what will be delivered. Obviously, joining this session, we're going to talk about infrastructure as a service. So virtual machines is quite important. Do we have multiple locations? How many of you have multiple data centers? Yeah, quite a few, right? So keep that in mind. Do we have multiple environments? Test, dev, production? Any hands? Good. So although from a technical point of view, you're able to combine all of that into a single stamp, there might be a reason why you want to split, right? So at least we have options, But these are the things we need definitely to consider before moving forward. And the last one is not that important, but are you a service provider or an enterprise? It may depend on the scalability and the services you would like to offer. But in the end, effectively, since you're using Azure Pack, you get all the cloud into your own data center, you will slowly begin to act as a service provider. So the technical part. Will we use network virtualization? Is that interesting? Network virtualization with NVGRE? Good. You're at the right track. Why do we need to know this up front? Any guesses? Well, first of all, VMM is responsible for deploying, managing, and operating the NVGRE stuff. So VMM will, de facto, be the network controller here. So in order to help VMM to do a solid job, we need to bring some intelligence into VMM. We need to help it. We need to structure things so it makes sense. Okay? Will disaster recovery with Azure Site Recovery be used? Anyone using that today? This is also important to be aware of, because we will have a mapping of the cloud in VMM and the management server into the Azure Site Recovery. So keep that in mind as well. We have a lot of options. Together with NVGRE? If yes, are we able to use multiple stamps with NVGRE and where they are all able to communicate together? The answer is no. Network VMM is a boundary here, so all the communication remains within that stamp. And this one is important. Do we have an existing VMM server? Do you? Yeah. So I would say, based on my experience, 10 out of 10 times, we can't use the existing VMM server. So if you want to bring network virtualization into the picture, if you want to use disaster recovery, and you have an existing stamp where you perhaps you have configured and deployed it using VMM 2012, you have upgraded to Service Pack 1, and now you're on R2, I don't think so. And there's many reasons for that, as I will demonstrate when we reach the demos. Are you interested in VM roles, the gallery items in Azure Pack? This is also important because the VM role are based on differential disks, so perhaps we need to structure some of the underlying storage to be dedicated here in this example. What about backup, monitoring, and also automation? How can this have an impact on the stamp design? So VMM, which effectively is the stamp here, together with other system center components, have a one-to-one relationship with Operation Manager. So if you want multiple stamps, and you also want to provide monitoring for all of those stamps, you need to scale out the rest of the infrastructure as well. And scalability. There are some numbers, although I'm not sure if they are written in stone, but it says that using VMM behind SPF are limited to 8,000 virtual machines. So if you have more virtual machines, perhaps you need more stamps. So scalability is also important here. So as a comparison for the multiple stamps, indeed, it will increase operational cost. It can help you to isolate environments on the good side. It can also increase as well as decrease complexity, depending on what you're doing. As I said, it requires additional management installs. But one important thing I would like to point out is that it simplifies disaster recovery as well. So that's a good thing, and perhaps something you need to bring into consideration. Now, going for a single stamp, you should know, and I will show you, that VMM is designed to scale across locations. It will decrease the complexity. We have only one stamp to focus on. It will decrease operational cost. It might be a single point of failure. It depends on how you are designing it. But the last one is important. It really simplifies NVGRE, which is network virtualization. So one use case for a single stamp for Azure Pack, and this is something we have deployed for a large service provider in Norway, is when you are providing infrastructure as a service to tenants, and at the same time, underneath the hood, things are replicated into the secondary stamp. So if the entire site goes down, they will have access to the virtual machines through the recovery portal. And the reason for that is because we are limited to using a single SPF with VMM. So if we need more SPF, we also need a new Azure Pack environment. So this is a use case for multiple stamps. Now for the single, or I should rather say dedicated stamp, simplicity is key. We will slowly turn VMM to not only be a brilliant management tool for our entire data center, but we will instrument it to become a fabric controller for our cloud. We will add scale units on demand. This will indeed simplify the lifecycle management. And I would say you should not include or inherit any legacy. So if you are considering doing Azure Pack deployment today, you want to take advantage of the VM cloud and all the goodness, you better perhaps start with a new VMM. It's not hard or tough to migrate from an existing VMM. You can simply add the host and so on. So, how do we go ahead to design a scalable stamp for VMM? Sorry, for Azure Pack. First of all, VMM should be highly available, especially when you would like to use NVGRE, right? We normally install all the management VMs on a dedicated Hyper-V cluster. So at least start with a two-node Hyper-V cluster running management VMs. Should you use SQL cluster or standalone SQL? It's a question here that is related to cost, obviously. But also in the context of disaster recovery. Use file server clusters for library. We can take advantage of equivalent objects so that VML will point to the nearest file server library for VM deployment and so on. The scale units, we are able now to manage this end-to-end using VMM. So anyone here using scale file server clusters today? Very good. Very good. And just so you know it, the biggest storage area network in Norway is located behind a scale-out file server cluster. So you don't have to use a JBOD spaces to use SMB Trio, but you can also leverage your existing investment. The host group structure, and this is where people are failing. There's really no plan behind it, so it makes it hard to ensure the lifecycle management of your virtualization host. And when I say lifecycle management, I'm talking about bare metal deployment, and also talk about on-demand patching using the WSUS integration. And of course, we will not have an easy demo, so NVGRE will be a part of this as well. We have a dedicated NVGRE Hyper-V cluster. That means the only workload that cluster actually will run is the virtualized gateway VMs. Not any tenant workload. So this is an example of a typical cloud deployment today, at least that we are involved in. We have all the virtualization hosts. They are accessing the storage through SMB. So the good thing here is that we don't need to rely on HBAs anymore. We can standardize using Ethernet, and we can also scale independently of each of the different scale units. So the good thing with SMB, each and every path is active. We can add more scale-out file server to the clusters to increase bandwidth, as well as we can add more NICs to either the host or the scale-out file server cluster nodes. And please note, this is deployed, configured, and managed by VMM. So are you tired of hearing me talking now? No? No demo? So it's time to start to become dirty on our hands and do some actual building. So hopefully I've planned something really interesting for us today to actually take this from the bottom to the top. And the scenario, so this is the case for the design we are doing. VMM must scale across location. So we are a service provider company. We are called System Center 365 in this example. That's the domain name. We have data center located in Copenhagen, Oslo, Paris, and so on. Of course, MVGRE must be implemented. Must also support tenants with VLANs. That's quite easy to achieve using a greenfield VMM. The other way around? No, that's very hard. High availability, of course, and disaster recovery is required on the management cluster, so all our management workloads in this example. We are supposed to offer cloud services across different locations. We need to provide geo-redundant cloud services and support highly available VM roles. And the last one, remote console. So in order to deliver a complete infrastructure as a service solution where the tenant is responsible for everything within the guest OS, we need also a way to provide them with access even though they mess up the network configuration. Right? So that's why we will have the remote console feature as well. So before we actually start, I just want to give my favorite feature 30 seconds of fame. Ever heard of intelligent placement or dynamic optimization? Let me put it this way. Have you ever tried to deploy a virtual machine using the VMM console and you get the star rating and it says, nah? Yeah? I've seen many people hit that one and they normally lose that battle. So they are cheating. They go into failover cluster manager or Hyper-V manager and do that deployment and ha-ha! That's not fair because intelligent placement is my favorite feature because all you do in VMM really matter. Whenever you create a network, if you deploy a host with specific settings, everything is brought into consideration for the thing that matters. And I'm talking about VM deployment. So intelligent placement is your friend as well as your worst enemy because it will look to this configuration you have made in the entire fabric in the context of what you're trying to do with that virtual machine and where you're trying to deploy it. So this can be all from the NUMA topology on the host. Does it match whatever you're trying to do at the VM guest? What about the networking? Do the underlying host have access? And so on and so forth. So it's really here to help you to do the right decision. And this feature is quite critical when you're dealing with Azure Pack because you don't really want to babysit the console when people are doing deployment and see that, oh, do I have enough resources? Do I need to move things around? No, you should rely on the fabric controller to take care of that. So intelligent placement together with dynamic optimization will ensure if you're using Hyper-V cluster that it will balance the workload. For the VM roles, as I will show you, the one you're able to scale out, it will also create availability sets and ensure that the workloads are not placed on the same host. So there's a lot of intelligence we can leverage here. And this feature is designed for cloud computing, and that's the fact we're dealing with here. So that was the 120 seconds of fame. So the rest of the session I will actually spend in the demo environment. So just an overview of what we are going to do. First of all, we'll start to design and create a scalable stamp. We will switch environment. We will talk through the different important things we need to consider, especially around networking of course, because before the TechEd conference, I reached out on Twitter and said, what do you really want to know? And I think 9 out of 10 said networking stuff. So we'll cover that. We will climb up the layers. We will abstract into the clouds in VMM and see what that's all about. And then we will do mapping in the admin portal in Azure Pack to actually be able to deliver VM virtual machines. And then we will put everything into context while we explore the interaction from a tenant point of view and see what's going on in the fabric. Okay, so starting to design a scalable VMM stamp. Okay, first of all, welcome to my second home. This is the VMM console. And I spent a lot of time in here. And to show you, this is a blank VMM server. There's nothing in there yet. There are some things I would like to do in VMM before I start to add hosts. So the first thing is to disable a default setting. I've already done that, but this one is enable default in VMM. Meaning, when you add an existing host, for example, that has joined a domain, it will automatically create a logical network in VMM that is named the same as the DNS suffix. It doesn't really mean anything, but then you have a dependencies, and it's very hard to change it afterwards. So I normally disable this one and do it manually. So the first thing we'll do is to design the host groups. Before you do anything with the networking, with the storage, whatsoever, you design the host groups. So please remember that we have different locations, right? So the first host group I will create is one that I'm calling Copenhagen. It's a level of abstraction here, but this means we have some data center resources in Copenhagen. Now, I also need to create a network. And this is where it's starting to become complex. What network will I create, and what type of network? As a rule of thumb, you should always use one connected network when you create your fabric networks. Anything that is not exposed to any tenants should be one connected network. And I will show you why. So the first network I will call is management. And if you ask me, that means this is the network VMM will use to communicate with the hosts. So I call it management. I click next. And here I add the site. So what is a site? If you're familiar with Active Directory, I am sure you know what I mean when I say site, right? So this is actually a location. So here I will say Copenhagen. And as you can see, I'm linking that specific site to the Copenhagen host group. So I'm already starting to create some rules. I type the network, the VLAN, and the IP subnet I would like to use. And that's it. That's a start. So in order to give VMM more power, I can even create IP pools. So once I start to assign IP addresses to my host or eventually virtual machines into this network, VMM will take care of it. So I create an IP pool. It's associated with the Copenhagen site and that particular subnet. So here I can define the starting IP address, the ending IP address. I can reserve IP address for different usage and so on. And also the gateway, DNS, and eventually WINS. So that was the first building block for my Copenhagen host group. Now, I could go on and create the rest of it manually. I guess we don't have time for that. So I will run a script that hopefully give you an overview of where I'm going. So now I've suddenly got a couple of new networks, and as you can see, I also have some new locations, right? So what I'll do now is that I will go to the management, and now I can easily add a new site. That's called Management Paris, and link that with the Paris host group. Like this. And I also created a new IP pool. And I pointed to the Paris site. So suddenly I have given a lot of information to VMM. So everything you do here really matter when it comes to VM deployments and which host should have access to which network and so on. And this is the way it's supposed to be. So I could obviously go on for the other networks as well to add the site for clustering in Paris and clustering in Oslo and so on. But we will leave this environment for now, and I will switch over to the live environment. All right. So here you can see we have Copenhagen, we have Oslo, and we have Paris. If we expand the Copenhagen host group, you can see that we have several host groups. So first of all, we have a host group representing the location, and then we have different functions. So we have a dedicated host group for our management workloads. We have a dedicated host group for our gateway. We have a dedicated host group for our infrastructure as a service workload. And I also have for disaster recovery as well. If we go to the networking part, you can see that I have quite a few networks. If we expand the management network, I have an IP pool for all of my sites. The same goes for live migration, clustering, storage. And I also have a network that I call Cloud Network that I'll get back to. Now, I already have some hosts, as you can see. But this was created before I added any host. So there are several ways to add a host to VMM. You can do bare metal deployment. You can configure all the settings as part of that process. So once it pops up in VMM, you can free add it to a cluster or whatever. Now, that demo would probably take 75 minutes or so to show. So I have a host in this host group. So here we have a cluster. This host is not a part of that cluster, right? There are some things we need to configure before we add it to a cluster, especially networking. Now, since I have all the artifacts in place in VMM now, I'm able to take advantage of that. So, if you remember, in Hyper-V in 2012, we got support for NIC teaming, right? We got we could create converged fabric, use quality of service, and so on. And this is when VMM suddenly became a bit more complex. So in Service Pack 1, we also got suddenly something called VM networks, right? So I will show you now how we can take a host from scratch on the networking side and bring it up to speed and actually use it for something. So first, I'm going to show you the actual host. This is a new host. So here I have two 10 gig adapters, right? My goal is to deploy a team onto that host where I create virtual adapter for management and cluster and live migration. So the idea here is to be able to put this host into the existing cluster. Now, I have all the logical networks in place in VMM, but I need to do more configuration in order to deploy a switch to my hosts. So the first thing I will talk about is the port profiles. So here you can see I have created a port profile, a production uplink for Copenhagen. So if we explore what's going on here, you see that this is where we tell the physical adapter on the host what kind of load balancing algorithm you're going to use, what kind of teaming mode. And last but not least, what networks are you supposed to communicate on? So at this point, I can ensure that no admin will be able to deploy a wrong network to this host. It's only Copenhagen-related networks. So this is for the physical adapters. For the virtual adapters that we will create, we need to define QoS. So here is an example of a virtual port profile where we can specify offload settings, bandwidth settings, and so on. Now, these virtual port profiles can also be used together with virtual machines, virtual adapters. And perhaps you don't want to expose the actual configuration to those virtual machines, so as another level of abstraction, we have something called port classifications. So we use the port classification basically to abstract the virtual port profile into the virtual adapters. So, using all these profiles, we are enabling those into a logical switch in VMM. So logical switch is the container here that contains the uplink profiles, as well as the virtual port profiles. So here's the name, production switch. So I can use a single switch that can contain all the different uplink profiles. So here you see that it suddenly makes sense. We have a port profile for different site, right? And the virtual ports for the virtual adapters we are about to create. So if you look closely, you can see that I have a virtual port profile that is called tenants, that is set to default. We'll get to the VM roles later, but the VM roles you use in Azure Pack do not have any knowledge of the hardware profiles in VMM. A hardware profile for a VM template in VMM, you can specify the port. The virtual port you would like to use. For the VM roles, you can't. So it's a best practice to use a default virtual port profile on the teaming configuration. So we have the configuration in place. As you can see, just as a reminder, this is the IAS host group located in Copenhagen. So in order to make this ready for the cluster, I will now from VMM go to the virtual switch. As you can see, nothing is available here. I will deploy a new production switch. And I'll choose the right port profile. If I try to deploy a logical switch onto this host now using the Paris or the Oslo profile, it won't allow me because the host is located in Copenhagen. So I will choose Copenhagen. I will also take advantage of teaming, so I will add both the physical NICs to this configuration. So this will create a team. The next thing I like to do is to create virtual adapter. So the first one is for management. And since I'm not deploying from bare metal deployment now, I already have configured the host with a management IP address, right? So I will use that IP configuration and transport it into a virtual adapter. So that's why I have enabled this virtual network adapter inherit settings from the physical management adapter. I will connect it to a VM network. I will show you that afterwards, but the VM network is another level of abstraction. In order to present any of your logical networks to any virtual adapters in the stamp, you need to create VM networks. So since I use the one connected logical network model, this means that the VM network called management has a one-to-many mapping. Everything that is in the management network needs to connect to this one. I use this classification to ensure the right clause and so on. And then I go on and create a virtual adapter for cluster. Put it into the right VLAN. And here I will take advantage of the IP pool configuration I made in VMM. So VMM goes out and defines the static IP configuration on this adapter. I'll do the same for line migration. Connect it to the right network, the line migration network in Copenhagen. And I associate the right port profile and also grab an IP from the line migration IP pool. So let's see how it goes. This is the host we will configure now. So let's see. We'll kick off the job. So VMM communicates out to the VMM agent on the host. And we should start to see, it's now creating the team. So both the physical adapters are going into that team. There will probably be another dropout once he creates the virtual adapter for management. And since I choose to inherit, it will also inherit the name of the production switch. It might be a bit confusing. It shouldn't take that long. Can we save the questions for afterwards? Okay, thanks. We can keep track of the job in VMM. So it's almost there, and we should eventually see three virtual adapters created on that host. While we're waiting, I can show you an existing host. So this will be the end result. We take both of the two physical NICs, enable it in a teaming configuration, and then we have three virtual adapters assigned with the proper QoS. So once that is done, I'm now able to add this physical host into an existing cluster. So let's get back to the logical networks, because there's a lot to talk about. As you can see here, in order to implement network virtualization, I have created a network that I have called that I've named Cloud Network. If we look closely here, you can see that there's an interesting setting. It means we will allow new VM networks created on this logical network to use network virtualization. Now, this network is currently only available for Copenhagen, which means this site is already added to the uplink profile I have associated with that switch, right? So effectively, that means once I deploy a virtual machine using NVGRE to one of my Copenhagen hosts, they will grab an IP address from this pool, and so that the virtual machine will use to communicate across hosts. That's how simple it is. And I've also named it Cloud Network because this name will be exposed in Azure Pack Portal. So you don't want to call it some specific VLAN that is confusing and so on. So that network is in place. What about the VLAN networks? If you have tenants that for some reason need access to their specific VLANs, the right way to define the logical network is to choose this one. The text may be a bit confusing, but this the way we are able to expose the different VLANs and subnets we create by using this model let us also more easy expose it into Azure Pack. So we say, if I create one connector network, remember that that will have a one-to-many mapping. So if I add, let's say, management into a cloud in VMM, everyone can have access to all my management networks. By using VLAN-based independent, I can simply create a new VLAN. Leave it with this. Oh, thank you. Alright, so now the logical network is created. And if we go to the VM networks now, you can see I have a big list. So, rule of thumb, if you want anything to be connected to a network, a virtual machine, then you need a VM network. So let me show you. You create a VM network, and here we have the following logical networks available. I have already created VM networks for management, live migration, and so on, so I'm not able to use them anymore. So for the tenants, I can now create a VM network that I can point to a specific VLAN or subnet, meaning if I would like to use this together with Azure Pack, I'm only picking that particular network. Okay, so the last part of this demo is to show you the gateways. So these are the two dedicated nodes for my gateway VMs. I have deployed the gateway VMs onto that cluster. I have added the gateway to VMM. So once you do this operation, VMM communicates to the gateway and do the configuration for you. So if you look at the host groups, you can see that this mapping only relates to the stuff in Copenhagen. And for the connectivity part, I have one adapter connected to the front end, the public IP addresses, and I have one adapter connected to the back end, the provider addresses. So this means I have now the basics for my configuration for the data center in Copenhagen for Azure Pack. So as a summary for this demo, host group structure should reflect locations. I know that people are quite picky on the naming and stuff in Active Directory and what the virtual machines and so on should be named. I would say that this is also applicable for VMM configuration. Of course, the network design should match the host group structure. Use one connected network from fabric networks. Use VLAN-based independent networks for VLAN tenants. And also use availability sets for the highly available management VMs. And of course, for the lifecycle management and scalability, we will use bare metal deployment and VSUS, WSUS. So the next part, we will have a look at the configuration we have made and see how we can leverage it into a cloud and hosting plan in Azure. So back to my second home. We have quite a few host groups. So obviously, I would like to use my dedicated host group, IIS, to handle the workload that we will receive from the Azure pack. That means I have created a cloud. I've called it Copenhagen IIS. If we look closely at this cloud, this is we are mapping this cloud to a particular host group, meaning whatever we deploy into this cloud will be located in the IIS host group in Copenhagen. We have also made some port classifications available that we are abstracting into the cloud. For the storage, we have the following classifications available. And we are also using a dedicated read-only library for this cloud configuration. So the tenants are able to pick VHDX, ISOs, and so on when they do deployment. We can also specify the capacity. So here, obviously, it's unlimited amount of resources. And the one thing I would like to show you is that we can also define custom properties. So this is a custom property that I've added to ensure that all the VM roles we will deploy will be targeting a cluster. So nothing will be placed on local attached storage. You can create quite a lot using custom properties, and this will all matter when we are talking about intelligent placement and dynamic optimization and so on. It really matters, and you can sort of tell VMM where exactly you want to put your workload. So if you're managing the other hypervisors as well, this becomes more and more important. So this is for the dedicated cloud we will now use in Azure Pack. I will log on to Azure Pack. And if you look at the URL, you can see that this is the admin side of things. I'm now logged in as the administrator, meaning I'm accessing the admin API, and this is where I will configure the resource provider. So here you can see we have VM clouds. As I showed you on the decks earlier, we have associated the service provider foundation endpoint. So this one is installed, it's associated, meaning we can go ahead and add our management stamp to the Azure pack. So here it is. You can see VMM and all the clouds that are created. For some reason, if I need more stamps into this configuration, I can simply go ahead and click New, VM Cloud, and connect to that particular stamp. Please also note that I've also associated the remote desktop gateway, meaning I want to provide remote console functionality for my tenants. So this is associated with a stamp. If I want to provide this for another stamp, I need another one. So let's explore the hosting plan. So based on all the resource provider you have available, you can see that I have quite a few, but we will focus on the VM Cloud now. A hosting plan contains plan services. So in this example, I have only the virtual machine cloud. If I drill into this hosting plan, you can see that this plan is connected to my management stamp and also a particular cloud in that management stamp. If we drill down, we can see that we inherit the settings from the cloud regarding the capacity. We are not adding any networks here because we are using network virtualization. So the idea is that the tenant should create the networks on their own. However, if we would like to add, let's say you have a VLAN tenant, and you want to provide that particular VLAN to the tenant, this is where you will add it. So multi-tenancy, in this case, where you have many tenants and they have their dedicated VLAN, you need to create a dedicated hosting plan for each of that tenant in order to isolate the VLANs. Or else, all the VLANs will pop up in one hosting plan. So here I can add VM templates from my VMM read-only library that is associated with that cloud. But I'm using gallery items, which means VM roles. I can specify additional settings, such as connect to the console or virtual machine. And this cloud should be ready to be consumed. So, looking more at the clouds in VMM, you can see they also have some cloud that are named Copenhagen Protected, Copenhagen Recovery. I have Europe, I have Oslo and Paris. So obviously I have a cloud based on each location. So if I have customers in Oslo, they can go ahead and deploy their workloads to the nearest data center. The same goes for the Paris. But I also have Europe, which is another level of abstraction here. So if we dive into Europe, we can see that the resources are targeting the IIS host group in every location. So this is at least one way to handle this in order to make VMM scalable. I will have a session after this one where we will talk about this in the context of disaster recovery. So just to show you that VMM stamp plays an important role here as well. The cloud is where you will enable the protection. So all the virtual machine in a cloud can potentially be protected using Azure Site Recovery. So going back to the admin portal, we can see that we have the Europe hosting plan that obviously will target the Europe IIS cloud in VMM that points to three different host groups. And Oslo is pointing at Oslo. So this, we suddenly realize that everything we've done from the beginning starts to make sense. We now have some sort of control where things will be deployed and so on. So, as a summary, add only what you need to the cloud. Don't add all your host groups, because most likely you will have different configuration for either each of the host or the host group. Use custom properties to gain better control. As you saw, I use custom properties to ensure high availability for my VM roles. Disaster recovery protection must be enabled at the cloud level. Use availability sets. That's a typo from my side, should be belong to the other slide. To use VLANs, as I said, in hosting plans, you need to create a plan for each tenant and add the required VM networks that maps to that specific VLAN. So jumping to the last demo, under the hood of Azure Pack during tenant interaction, so here I am from my computer as a tenant. If you came a bit early to the session, you realize that the federation obviously should work. I will log in. I will log into the portal, the tenant portal. And as you will see, there's really nothing in there. Nothing. It's just my user, since I obviously belong to the Active Directory that I'm federating with. So my account is, at the moment, empty. So here, I can click New and add a subscription. So these are currently the publicly available subscription in this cloud. I can go for the Oslo hosting plan. I can go for Europe. But I will choose Copenhagen in this example. Now, based on what kind of resource providers you have associated with this plan, different action may take place. So here we are using the VM Cloud resource provider, which means this will create a tenant in VMM. So now we're going to jump back and forth to see what's happening. Through the tenant API, you can see that we now have a new user, this one, because we are now subscribing to a hosting plan that contains VM clouds. We also associate this tenant with this particular cloud in VMM because Azure Pack is directing us to this cloud. Now, I need to create some resources as well. So here I click on Create Virtual Network. I'm using network virtualization, so that's why I'm empowering the self-service users to actually go ahead and do this. So I need internet access. I'll click Next. And here I can actually define whatever I like because everything is isolated. Like this. So what's happening now is that through the tenant API, we communicate through the service provider endpoint that will effectively aggregate into VMM. And in the context of this user, we should see that we now get a new VM network. Here's the name. We can see the subnet that we created, static IP address, the gateway. So now we are deploying everything to the IIS host group in Copenhagen. So we are using the gateway in Copenhagen as well. And last, we have the NAT connection. So from here, I can go to rules. I can even create a NAT rule for my environment. I don't have any existing VMs at the moment. But going back to the portal again, sorry, VMM. We effectively added an app rule. So, what we'll do now is to create a virtual machine role. So from this tenant can now let's say, easily spin up a new domain controller, assign a name, connect it to the network, specify the domain name, and if we go back to the jobs view now, we can see that we'll add a VM role resource, and this VM will be deployed into Copenhagen IaaS by this tenant. So I'm relying on intelligent placement to take care of all of this on my behalf. So the last thing I'd like to show you is the remote console feature. So I'm logged in as another tenant that has some existing workload, and here I can take the this virtual machine. And if we look at the dashboard, this is a VM that is configured as an IaaS web server. It's connected to a virtualized network, and I will now connect to it. You can see we get the RDP file downloaded. And we are connected. And just to ensure you that we actually have a fully functional virtualized network, I'm connected to the internet as well. And if we go back to the VMM portal, job view, you can see that this is where we created the actual connection. So we're really now leveraging the stamp to deliver the cloud services for us. So as a summary to that demo, a tenant is created in VMM when subscribing to a hosting plan with VM cloud offerings. The tenant is able to create and manage their resources through Azure Pack, SPF, and VMM. You can also enable DR through a plan add-on now. I didn't show you that because that was recently announced the other day, but you are able to integrate DR capabilities into Azure Pack once you deploy Update Rollup 4. Also, when you deploy VM roles that are able to scale out, VMM will effectively create availability sets on your behalf as well. So, end of session. Did we learn anything? Well, hopefully we did. If you ask me, VMM is the fabric controller for Azure Pack. The design of VMM really affects capabilities and vice versa. Using MVGRE, use a single stamp. Don't try to do something that's not possible. SPF is a dependency of VMM and Azure Pack. And for a complete disaster recovery scenario, then you should consider multiple stamps. So with that, obviously, we have a lot of resources that can give you more information. I have 5 minutes to take some questions before I literally have to run into the next session. So please excuse me for that. Remember, I'm 29 years old today, so keep that in mind when you evaluate the session. So are there any questions? I would be happy to try to answer them. Yeah?
When you were creating the virtual mix, you selected setting that the settings were inherited from the physical mix. I think that every Hyper-V admin knows from the
Okay, so the question is, did I change the MAC address of the VNIC after I inherited? In that case, no. But under the hood, BMQ is effectively disabled here as well. Any other questions? Yeah?
When you create the gateway, does it allow for internet access too, or is it routed through the corporate network?
Yeah, so the question is, when you create a gateway, do you allow internet access too?
Correct.
Well, let's see. Are you talking about the tenant?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the tenant, it will communicate through VMM, as you saw, out to the gateway. And since the gateway in this example have public IP addresses, this will effectively give you internet access.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So the question is, why I'm creating IP pool in VMM? Yeah, as you saw, we are dealing with virtual adapters for the host, VNICs for the virtual machines. So whatever we would like to do from the networking point of view, we can do it from VMM. We can go and configure the IP address configuration. So if we didn't have that, we would rely on DHCP or something like that. So we're basically empowering VMM to do a better job. Yeah.
Can replace that.
Yeah, at least for the data center point of view.
Just wondering, are the gateways, are they also physical?
So the question was, are the gateways also physical? Well, the dedicated Hyper-V hosts running the virtual gateways are physical. So the gateway VMs we configure from VMM are virtual machines. Okay, really appreciate that you joined the session, and please excuse me for running into the next one.